Welcome to The Eminence Project. In this series, I share raw, real conversations with people who ignite my soul, clients, friends, experts, who have faced their challenges head-on and risen stronger by choosing themselves. I'm Bryony Lieber. To be eminent is to shine. Join me to step into your brilliance. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been working on the development of a coaching program and a retreat that is focusing on helping people to become better self-leaders, to become more aware, self-aware of how they show up and how that has implications for the life that they lead. And in the process of this preparation, I've been doing a lot of reading on things like consciousness, curiosity, having courage, and other qualities that I think are really important for our ability to know ourselves well. But in the way that we automate ourselves and we become habituated in our lives, these are qualities that often go into the background until there's a reason to suddenly have a very strong relationship with them again. And in the course of my research, I've been reading a book by Alain de Botton called The School of Life and Emotional Education, where he talks about the importance of a breakdown. What he says in this section is, we are really good at keeping going, powering through, keeping up the pretense that everything is fine, and making sure that we just continue day on doing what we always do. And distracting ourselves from some of the pain or the suffering that we might be experiencing, some of the discomfort, some of the experiences that we might have where we start to feel like there's some discordance in the way that we're showing up and in the way that we're interacting with the world. And in this process of being good at keeping going on, we teach ourselves and we teach others that we're fine until one day we burn out, we have a meltdown, something happens where we just can't continue the way that we've been going. Alain de Botton says, most of us learn that we need to get through this breakdown as quickly as possible, get back on track and being productive and being how we've always been. A breakdown is basically our body's way of screaming at us that enough is enough, that it's time to get conscious and start examining how we are. It's a cry for allowing our bodies and our minds to seek out health and to seek out self-knowledge. It's a cry to get conscious. But being conscious is really hard. It takes a huge amount of energy to be conscious. It takes being present with oneself. And so often, what we're actually trying to do is avoid ourselves, because being with ourselves requires us to examine our thoughts. It requires us to examine the darker parts of ourselves that we might not want to be aware of. In fact, Carl Jung says, people will do anything, no matter how absurd, to avoid facing their own souls. And being conscious, being with yourself, requires you to be with your soul. Carl Jung goes on further to say that enlightenment comes from making the darkness conscious, and it's that darkness that we often don't want to be aware of. And he says there is no coming to consciousness without pain. The reality is our brains want to avoid that pain that he talks about. And we are hardwired to stay safe or to stay in what we know, to stay in the comfort zone where we know how to operate, where we know how people will react, where we don't have to deal with the uncertainty that is so uncomfortable because we don't know how something is going to turn out. So our brains are basically trying to protect us from three things. The first is being shunned or rejected or kicked out of the tribe, being kicked out of your community, your family, your work environment, your friendship circles. We want to stay safe in those communities that we're in, and our brain automatically seeks out ways to keep us safe. Second thing is our brains try to ensure that we avoid being embarrassed, that we avoid being shamed, because embarrassment is incredibly painful and it feels unsafe to be in that space. And our brains try to protect us from being emotionally and physically harmed. In trying to avoid the pain of being kicked out the tribe, embarrassed, or emotionally or physically harmed, we do all sorts of absurd things. I've been reflecting a little bit on some of the absurd things that I do to avoid having to stay conscious with myself and having to really examine the parts of myself and to examine the things that I don't really want to be acutely aware of. So over the course of my life, some of those things have been resorting to comfort eating, overworking, comfort shopping, immersing myself in studying something, distracting myself with social media, with binge-watching TV programs, playing games on my phone, sleeping, picking a fight so that I can step away from what's within me, getting really involved in cooking something that I'm probably not going to eat, recreating something that I've already created several times before, finding kind of things to do that are new, that I can immerse myself in, that keep me away from my thoughts. And the list goes on. All of this is in an attempt to avoid sitting with what's going on deep within my heart, deep within my emotions. Something that happened to me quite recently that really forced me to start staying present with myself, to intentionally stay conscious in my experience of life and how I'm living life. But it also caused me to question, what does it mean for me to be conscious? Some of the answers that came up for me were, what it means for me to stay conscious is that I have to be with myself, and that feels incredibly uncomfortable. I have to see some of the parts of myself that I don't want to see. When I'm conscious, I can see the resentment and the anger and the disappointment and pain that I don't want to acknowledge. I can see, and I have to be responsible and aware of the pain that I've caused and the harm that I've done to people that I say I love. I have to notice where I am in my life and how far it is from where I thought I would be at this stage of my life. And as I continued, I started to also notice a shift, but I started writing answers that were a lot more curious and opened up a desire to be conscious. One of the answers that I started to write down was, I also get to notice and to truly be with my thoughts and my emotions, and I get to examine those thoughts and emotions and start to question whether they are true for me, whether they are serving me, whether these are thoughts and emotions that I actually want to continue being driven by. And that, for me, is the value of being conscious, is that as human beings, we have this amazing gift that is the ability to have a thought and to also think about that thought, to be able to notice what we're thinking and to examine whether that thought is actually true for us. The reality is that noticing your thoughts and consciously examining them is an exhausting process because it requires us to use energy to learn. The problem is that when we operate unconsciously, we play out these automated reactions. When we are reactive, we are operating unconsciously. We are playing out the way that we learned to stay safe. When we bring those approaches into our adult lives and into completely different contexts where we actually have agency, those unconscious approaches don't often serve us well. They cause us to pick fights, to diminish ourselves, to play safe and not take risks, to avoid asking questions, to avoid saying what we need, to avoid anything that will put us at risk of not being accepted. But as adults, we have a responsibility for ourselves and our actions and how we show up on a day-to-day basis. We have a responsibility to align the way that we show up with the goals that we're trying to achieve, with the way in which we want people to experience us. And if you take the word responsible and you break it up into two words, response-able, what that means is, as adults, we are responsible for being able to choose how we respond. We are responsible for choosing how we respond to things that happen to us, that trigger these thoughts and emotions. We are responsible for being able to stop and examine our thoughts and emotions and consciously choose how we're going to respond instead of unconsciously reacting. In reaction mode, we're essentially operating as children. When we are able to choose our response, we are operating as self-aware adults. So I want to go back to the point of a breakdown, and I'm certainly not encouraging anybody to have a breakdown intentionally. The reason I'm talking about this is hopefully to encourage more consciousness on a day-to-day basis that enables people to get to know themselves better and examine how they're showing up. Is that way that they're showing up healthy and in alignment with how they want to be? Or is it in alignment with staying safe and avoiding the risk of showing up as they truly are? When I burnt out in 2016, I was diminishing my needs in order to make myself relevant and valuable to others by being perpetually available, being a workaholic, and distracting myself from difficult parts of my life in order to stay friendly, be really jolly, be upbeat, be the person that I'd trained people to believe that I was. But inside, I was deeply disconnected from myself. And that was probably the point at which I was distracting myself from my unhappiness through a lot of comfort eating and a lot of avoidance of what was going on in my life. And somebody showed me some photographs of myself from that time quite recently. What I noticed in those photographs was somebody that I actually didn't recognize, but I remembered with a sense of huge sadness for that person. Because in all of these photographs, here was this heavily overweight person who in every single photograph was pulling some silly face or standing in some weird way and effectively trying to mask a lot of internal pain by looking a bit like a clown, a really jolly, happy, fun clown. I know that behind those images was someone who was deeply unhappy and really struggling with a lot of things, but was incapable of articulating that to anybody and was avoiding herself by showing up as this over-the-top version of herself. And what's strange for me in looking at those photographs is how energized and energetic and happy that person looks. And how I know at the time I was exhausted, emotionally broken, avoiding things that were truly important to me and focusing on things that, in the greater scheme of things, looked fabulous on paper, but had no value and meaning to who I was within the relationships that I was in. I was operating in a hugely automated, hugely structured way. My core structuring was around the fact that I needed to please everybody and earn my value from everybody by being available to everybody. That very structured way of being meant that I was being available for others. I wasn't being available for my own needs. And as human beings, we're supposed to be these dynamic, evolving, growing, learning creatures. much like we are when we are children, when we have this innate curiosity, before we start internalizing the feedback that says, no, doing that makes you wrong. And we're curious about everything. We try everything. We are flexible and capable of learning and evolving on a daily basis. But as adults, we get to a point where we almost believe we've got to stop learning and we've just got to operate in the way that we know how to operate. But the reality is our learning journey should never stop. Life is always an encounter with new things, new people, new contexts, new technology, new ways of doing things. And every time we enter something that is new, we start a learning journey, or rather we have the potential to start a learning journey all over again. We have the opportunity to get conscious about how we operate and whether the way in which we engage in that new context, with that new information, with a new person, is appropriate to that situation, is true to who we are, is the most effective way of being. Not the safest way of being, not the most comfortable way of being, but the most effective way of being in alignment with the truth of who we are. And it requires us to examine what we know, to be skeptical about what we know, and to choose to unlearn certain automated ways of being with the opportunity to try out new things and to learn new ways of being. So in the past couple of weeks, I felt deeply rejected. And I have no idea whether I was being rejected or whether the rejection was something that I was perceiving. But the upshot of that feeling was I went into a deeply automated response. And the consequence of that has left me needing to start being more conscious again. I don't want to go into a reactive state like I did a few weeks ago, ever again. I want to be able to consciously choose how I understand a situation and be more curious about understanding that situation so that I can choose my response, so that I'm able to respond as opposed to reacting. What I'd noticed in getting conscious about that reactiveness was that recently I've been allowing myself to avoid the discomfort of being awake to myself. I was starting to lose my courage within myself, within my business and within my relationships. This has again been a moment of recognizing how important it is for me to choose self-awareness, to choose examining who I am, to choose loving myself over abdicating myself to be chosen by others. So I noticed that I was losing my courage to be myself, and not in a structured way, but to allow myself to be innately who I am. What I had also lost connection with was my mission, what I'm all about, what I'm trying to achieve, and what I'm willing to suffer for, what I'm willing to struggle with in order to achieve the things that I want to achieve. And I'd started to choose comfort and connection and safety over challenging myself to keep aligned with what's important for me. My realization that has been in choosing to consciously examine my soul, consciously examine who I am, to experience living with my thoughts and my emotions, is probably the biggest gift that I can give myself, and it's probably the biggest gift that you can give yourself too. Because in staying conscious and getting to notice on a daily basis, this is how I'm feeling, and this is what I'm thinking, and then asking myself, what part of that is true for me, and what part of that is defined by how I have been trained through feedback to be thinking about myself. That's started to help me release some of these patterns and some of these structures that have kept me in a very fixed state. And I'm starting to experience this ability to be a little bit more flexible in how I think about things and how I relate to others and how I allow myself to be. And in that flexibility is freedom. In that flexibility is the ability to choose how I respond. And ultimately, my objective at the moment is to give myself the space to stay with myself, to really examine my soul, to really examine my behaviors and my thoughts through a process of daily reflections, through a process of asking myself three questions every single day. What am I anxious about right now? What am I upset about right now? And what am I excited about right now? And these are not questions that I've come up with myself, unfortunately. These are questions that I picked up in the book that I mentioned earlier by Alain de Botton. And what's valuable about these questions is that sometimes the answer is, I thought I was anxious, but actually there's nothing I'm anxious about. I'm so used to being anxious that I just assume I must be anxious. But if I stop and I consciously ask myself this question, I'm actually not anxious about anything right now. And that allows me to be more curious about, well, if I'm not anxious about anything right now, then what is this feeling, this sensation within me? And on numerous occasions in the last couple of weeks, what's come up for me is, actually, I'm really excited about some of the space that I have to focus on myself, to focus on the projects that I'm working on, to immerse myself in being with myself, that I'm excited about not abandoning myself to avoid sitting with things that feel difficult for me. Because the truth is, the things that excite me, the things that I am wanting to work on are hugely exciting, and at the same time, they scare me. They scare me hugely because there's high stakes in what I'm trying to achieve. If I fail in these things, it means a lot to me. And that's the part of me that I've been distracting myself away from, is the fear of, if I don't succeed at this, I'm going to be a failure. As opposed to, if I don't succeed at this, well, it was a failure, but it doesn't make me a failure. And rather than dealing with that and working on these projects, I've been abandoning myself so that I can use others as an excuse that I haven't achieved what I wanted to do, rather than looking at myself and examining the excuses that I've been making. So in these daily reflections, I'm starting to get a lot more aware of who I am. And over the past few weeks, I have made a lot of headway in some of the projects that have been sitting on hold because I have been making myself busy elsewhere on things that keep me comfortable but don't give me the opportunity to stretch myself in the direction that I'm trying to move towards. The second thing that I'm doing is I've got a journal next to me on my desk, and with everything that I read, with everything that I'm working on, with the conversations and the coaching sessions that I have with people, when something resonates with me or triggers a reaction in me, I'm writing about it in my journal. And that process of experiencing something, engaging with new information, and then intentionally reflecting on it is giving me the opportunity to integrate and to learn in a much faster way than I have been learning over the past year or two, where I've had an experience or a conversation or I've read something and I've thought about it very briefly and then forgotten about it. With this journaling practice that I have right now, the new experience, the reflection on that experience, and then the question to myself of, okay, so how do I want to apply this in my life now, is giving me the opportunity to integrate what I'm learning and then to try it out and then reflect on what happened when I tried it out. What is the new experience or the new knowledge that came from that application? And this is standard learning practice. This isn't something novel that I'm doing, but it's a conscious process of actually doing it that I'm starting to notice is having a catalytic effect in how I'm showing up, how I'm engaging with things, and the progress that I'm making towards the goals that I have. And then the final thing that I'm doing, that I'm trying to do on a daily basis, is ask myself, every time a thought or an emotion appears, is to ask myself, how is that thought true for me? Is that a thought that feels like it's coming from my soul? Or is that a thought that I've learned I should have based on the feedback that I've been given over the course of my life? And in asking myself that question on a regular basis, I'm starting to notice how many of my thoughts have been shaped by external feedback, and how, as I give myself the gift of consciously examining those thoughts, how my thought process in a few tiny little areas is starting to shift, and how in that process I'm finding myself infused with incredibly positive energy. And by positive, I don't mean having to be happy all the time. By positive, I mean it's energy that's permeating how I show up and who I am, and most importantly, how I feel about myself. I'm finding that I'm making myself a project, and that through these daily practices of reflection and journaling and questioning and being curious about myself, I'm getting the opportunity to almost treat myself as a science project and track how I'm shifting from a state in which I was reactive to a state in which I am consciously choosing how I respond to the world on a day-to-day basis and how I consciously show up, and am finding myself much more comfortable with myself. It's a personal science project for myself that aligns so much with the intention of this podcast, the Eminence Project, in putting myself first and seeking to know myself and to build my self-awareness to the point where I am eminent in my own world. My invitation to you is to bring some of these practices into your own life if you don't already have these practices, and ask yourself the question that started all of this for me. What does it mean to me to be conscious? And perhaps the follow-up question to that is, what gift do I give to myself by intentionally being conscious? Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. I look forward to chatting with you again in the next one. If this episode resonated with you, I'd love to hear back from you. And if there are practices that you have incorporated into your life that enable you to stay intentionally curious, I'd love to hear what some of those are.